Log Talk Radio.
Hello, how you doing?
Hey, Pastor Hunter, just fine.
Good. God bless you. God bless you. Amen.
Yes.
You. The Lord has blessed you once again. You got a great word also. You got a word?
Yes. I was listening to that song that you had playing. I thought it was a nice song. So, praise the Lord. You know, for another day and another opportunity. I thank the Lord for the word about the kingdom of God. That when Jesus was talking to the disciples and they were asking him all those questions, they were asking, you know, what is the kingdom of God?
Amen.
How do we get the kingdom? And they began to ask him all these questions. And as I was reading, I went to my book, and it's a Zondervan's Pictorial Bible Dictionary.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking about the kingdom of God. Is that what the kingdom is? So why do we need the kingdom of God? And the meaning of it all. How the kingdom of God is a realm in which God's spirit range. Yes. It's an experience with God. The ram is sometimes present, sometimes it's the future, but this ram introduced after Jesus died, it was the kingdom of God through Amen. His death. Am I right? I mean, if I'm wrong, you could correct me.
No,
but
no.
But as I to study and to read about that ram, you know, and I don't have my Bible, it's in my car, but I know in Luke 16 and 16, there's a scripture that talk about it, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. Matthew had an account, Luke had an account, and there's several scriptures that talk about the kingdom of God. And
yes.
No matter what, the kingdom of God is a future ram inaugurated by the return of Christ. The righteous will inherit the kingdom. The unrighteous won't. And the righteous will also shine like the sun. God is light. His spirit is light. The kingdom is like the sun is bright. And so when we want a physical look at things that we don't understand, Pastor Hunter, we want to understand that the kingdom of God is within us.
That's it. That's it.
And I was just studying that, but I want to tell the people of God that Jesus loves you. That's the first thing I wanted to reiterate to the people of God, that Jesus loves you. And
Amen.
I wanted to give scriptures to support his love. A lot of times, Pastor Hunter, in the process of changing, as I minister to people out here, the first thing that I want to tell them is that Jesus loves them, because the devil beats upon people so bad that they don't feel the love of God in their life. They don't feel worthy. Half the time, they don't even feel worthy just to even pick up the good book, as that's what they call it, the good book. So I wanted to reiterate to the people of God, according to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's Jesus Christ. That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. In John
Amen.
14, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oftentimes, Pastor Hunter, even in my ministry at the senior citizen home, a lady in her 80s wanted to know, am I saved? How do I know I'm saved? The word tells us how to know if we're saved. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. Acts 2 and 21, if you just call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. But you got to know that. How do you know that? The preacher preach about it. How can you hear the preacher if you don't go to church? Listen to some form of the word of God. And according to Mark 16 and 60, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned.
Amen.
And according to Corinthians 6 and 2, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And that the Lord is in the midst of us, Pastor Hunter. We can't even never think. According to Zephaniah 3 and 17, the Lord thy God is in the midst of the mighty. He will save. He will rejoice of you with joy. And the last one I want to read tonight is, for I know my plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and to give you hope, not to harm you. Plans to give you a good and expected future. Jeremiah 29:11. So if anybody be in Christ, you are a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 17. Change is a choice. Jesus loves you.
Amen.
And to you from House of Prayer and Love. And I thank the Lord for that encouraging word about Jesus loving you on today. But back to our kingdom of God. How do we know that there's such a thing as the kingdom of God? However you think about the kingdom of God, it is the kingdom of God. God's kingdom isn't merely just an abstract rule. The kingdom of God is ruled dynamically, active to defeat evil and redeem sinners. 1 Corinthians 15:24-26 says that Christ must reign as king until he has destroyed all enemies, the last of which is death, and that he then will deliver the kingdom of God. From
Amen.
This passage, understand that the kingdom of God is a dynamic rule of God's manifestation in Christ to destroy his spiritual enemies and to bring men the blessings of God's reign. There's blessings for God in the kingdom of God. And we thank God for that on tonight. Pastor Hunter, did you have anything to add to the word about the kingdom of God? I just hear when the word said the kingdom of God suffered violence, but the violence taken force. The kingdom of God suffered violence. I don't know exactly where that's found, but that scripture just
That's in the book of Mark. And he said the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, but violence take it by force. Violence take it by force. We are of who we are. We have to be violent in our action. Amen. And you know, one thing I want to do, I want to go to Mark. One thing I'll say that you were saying, Mark 10 and 14 says, but when Jesus saw it, he was greatly depressed and said to them, let the children come unto me and do not forbid of such is the kingdom of God. So here's a prime example in the young people. Jesus said, look, he said, why are you putting the children? See, right now in America, in Houston, Texas, around the world, the people are putting the children aside. And Jesus said, let them come unto me. But this is what the kingdom of God is about. Because we go to Mark the 9th chapter, verse 14 says, and if your eye calls you to sin, pluck it out. It is better to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two eyes and cast into the fire. Here God's talking to us and letting us know, whatever you've done wrong, you need to get it straight and just move out of the way. And I will say this also, God is saying to us tonight, and I pray that somebody else, as we're discussing tonight, because we got another 18 minutes to talk. But I want you to know something else. And here's what I say. In Mark chapter 12, verse 34, and when Jesus saw that he was answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. But after that, no one dare question him. Because Jesus pointed out, he said to his greatest disciple, when he asked him a question, whom do I say that I am? He said, but no, this wasn't given to you. It was given to my Father from the kingdom, by my Father from the kingdom of God. See, we live in a place right now, prophetess, that we have to come to understand that what God is doing for us, and the Bible tells us, which of the two will do this Father's will? They said to him, the first, Jesus said unto him, assuredly, I say to you, the tax collector and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. See, we got to get it right. We're living in a place, and I was just looking and studying also about the kingdom of heaven. See, there was a distinct difference. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Now, if anybody online want to discuss that or talk about it, the line's open. Amen. Because I see what God is doing. The time we now live in. When we go to Revelation, we find Revelation says that there are two. There's the kingdom of heaven, and there's the kingdom of heaven. And what we have to do is, we're operating from above, not below. We're operating from Jesus, and in Colossians, God said he set him on the right hand of God. He gave him power, he gave him authority, but he gave us the ability to teach his word, to bring his word in. And then Rosette, one thing I find that Prophet Rosette, there are a lot of people don't want the truth. Because the Bible says, times they're waxing cold. They're waxing cold from the love of God. Because the enemy decides he wants to destroy. And everybody that's listening to me, please hear this. If you don't know Jesus for your personal Savior, you ain't get to heaven. You're not going to make it in. And that's why we have this radio station to let it be known. Somebody out there needs to come to know Jesus Christ. Jesus, he died for our sin. He rose from the grave. He's down. When he was resurrected, he went to heaven. and carried his blood back, and he sits on the right hand of God. He intercedes for us. And the more we trust in what God has done through Jesus Christ, and see, God just sitting up there on the throne room. I'm telling everybody. And the question was asked, said, well, Lord said, when is Israel going to be put in charge? And God said, wait, hold it, hold it. That's not even for me. That question is in the Father's hand. So it behooves us to stay in the Father's hand. It tells us to stay in the Father's hand. Amen. Anybody got a question or statement? Anybody?
No, I'm on the line. I just was enjoying the, I called in a little late. I just was enjoying the talk about like how God loves you and that, when I was listening to you, I was trying to hurry up and turn to Mark. You said Mark 9:14?
Yes, ma'am.
And you was talking about the disciples. I just want
yes,
to see if you can go back.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
And how
so you, okay.
How?
So here's a scripture. Mark, you ready?
Yes.
Mark 11:9. Mark chapter 9, verse 1. Mark chapter 9, verse 1. Okay?
Yes.
And Mark 10:14.
Okay.
All right. So far, so good.
We seek God's kingdom and righteousness. We seek for God's rule in our lives.
Yes.
A lot of people don't even know. They say, I've been reading the word and I don't understand the word. And I'm talking about when I'm doing the outreach and people want a closer walk. They don't understand, well, how do I get there? How do I he come into my heart? How can he literally come into my life? You know, but here it says here, when we seek God's kingdom and righteousness, we seek for God's rule in our lives. Matthew chapter 6:33. The kingdom of God, sometimes the people of God. In Revelation 5:10, it says that the redeemed are the kingdom, not, however, because they are the people over whom God reigns, but because they will share his reign. The same use appears in Revelation 1:6. The kingdom of God is a realm in which God's reign is experienced.
Yes.
That high place, that higher dimension, that place through fasting and praying that you grow up in him. Fasting and praying and seeking a closer and deeper spiritual walk.
A relationship.
You know, understanding this flesh.
Yeah. Amen.
The kingdom of the realm in which a monarch reigns.
Yes.
The kingdom of people over which he reigns. Because
Amen.
He reigns in our life. So anyway, it just entered my spirit to talk about the kingdom of God, but it
Amen.
Looks like I'm be studying my own self verse by verse, just like 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. Right.
Yes.
I want a real good understanding of what the kingdom of God means.
Yes.
Now, I know what the New Jerusalem is over in Revelations, I think, chapter 21, when it talks about the New Jerusalem. The new heaven, new earth, that place where God reigns in the New Jerusalem, that holy city, this is totally different. This is a different place. It's a different thought. Something that I really need to understand what the kingdom of God is like right here on earth, that we experience him right here where we are.
But you know what? The one thing I would say to you, prophetess, is that we have to understand. Now, you mentioned the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. You have two different words simultaneously mean the same thing. One is Israel, one is the church. When we come to the fullness of it, because we walk as kings and priests, and we in the kingdom of God, we at a high place. The book of Corinthians tells us, he said, seeing that we so greatly compassed with a great cloud of witness, let us see. That was witnesses. That was Abraham. That was Moses. These are witnesses. And they're in the back and they said, "Come on, come on!" And see, we got to get it right on this earth realm. See, and I told somebody, I said, I was asking a question. I said, the more you want to seek God, the more you got to come through Jesus Christ. Because the Bible declares, Jesus said, now here's the key, no man, black or white, rich or poor, gets to see the Father except he come by me.
Yes.
If you don't come in a relationship with Jesus, you can't get to God, because Jesus and God are in relationship. And the devil is doing everything he can. See, and I see more young people nowadays, and the more I try to tell them, I say, if you got it right for Jesus, you got it right for yourself. Oh, I'm all right. I'm all right. I had a brother-in-law that I said, can I pray for you? He said, oh, I got it. How you got it? I was reading the scripture last night that Jesus said, he said, what man can pay a certain amount of money for a man's soul? No man can.
Yeah, that's right.
So if we're going to get them into the kingdom, we got to start flushing them out. And I want them to know one thing, God is on our side. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, ma'am.
The kingdom works in the world through the church, bringing to all who will receive it the blessing of God's rule. The return of Christ is necessary for the final defeat of the enemy of God's kingdom and will involve two stages, the millennium or the thousand-year period when the glory of Christ's reign will be manifested in history and human society.
Amen.
And come with this new heaven and new earth, Revelation 21:1. Hallelujah.
And we're headed that direction. And you know what I like to say, what I say about the book of Revelation? It is the last part of Revelation said, any man, see, you can't put it on me. The Bible says in Revelation, any man who commits these things, sin, homosexuality, lesbianism, lying, debauchery, thief, robbery, etc., cannot enter to the kingdom of God.
They
enter the kingdom of hell. So there's a cap to put on for you. So some people, and I try to get the, as I say to you tonight and listen with all my heart, get to know Jesus. Have a relationship with Jesus. And the more you have a relationship with Jesus, Jesus take it to you, say, Father, this is the beloved that I bring it to you. And when you come in, you don't even know you're in God's presence, because it's all one. And see, one thing I love about what God is doing through Jesus Christ, God said there are things that we have not even wondered about. The Apostle Paul said, I have seen things I can't even talk about. Oh, my God. He said, and so that tells me, while we're on the line, God has a great work for us to do. We got about 7 minutes for this program. Anybody got? I'm not trying to encourage anybody to speak. I'm not begging anybody to speak, but I want to thank you for being on the line tonight. If you got a statement, good. If not, keep praying for us. We'll pray for you. And I want to talk to that lady that called me at 409. I want you to know, sister, when you ask for those scriptures, when you take the word of God and go back to the book of Matthew and start reading it, start in the first script and go through Matthew's. Take your time and read each scripture every day. Go back over. So you're going to see for the generation where Jesus Christ came in. You're going to find he started out where he ended up. 42 generation. That's just a numeric sign that God has established in the earth realm for those of us who believe. And I say to you, sister, I'm believing God is raising you up to a level that you can say, I love God through Jesus Christ. And God is calling. See, it's time for revival. Everybody say revival.
Revival.
First, we start with ourselves. We revive ourselves. We got to clean. We got to go, okay, Lord, I got some dirty stuff in me. I got to get out. And see, God say, you know what? I've forgiven you. Come on, go to the revival. Oh, some people say, you got to put this on, 7 steps, you got to do this, 8 steps, you got to do this, 9 steps, you got to do this. Hogwash. All you got to do is come straight to Jesus Christ, who takes you to the Father, and your sins are forgiven. Because God loves us. He loves us. He loved us so much till he gave his only begotten son. And when you look at his only son, what the other one? His only son. And they had an agreement in the book of Psalms. And you read the 27th chapter of Psalms, and Jesus said these words. He said, Father, he said, I'll go down and I will redeem these men. And the Father said, in the Word, you don't have to. He said, but oh, yes, Father, because I love you, that you may be glorified. And that's what he's done. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Right. Anybody got a, hallelujah. Anybody got a question? Anybody got a statement? We've got 5 minutes left.
Amen. I would like to, God bless everyone.
Amen.
I would like to, you know, Matthew's, we're talking about the kingdom of God and the scripture, Matthew 11 and 12, which has already been said, and you can find it in Luke and Mark as well. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered by violence, and the violent take it back by force. And if we look at what is the kingdom, what is the kingdom of God? And as I was just listening to everyone, and this just kept repeating over and over in my mind, well, the first kingdom that was taken by violence was Jesus Christ. He's the kingdom of God, and he was taken in violence, but God took him back by force. And we know that because he now reigns on the throne, seated on the right hand with God, Heavenly Father. And the more and more, because we also know the kingdom of God is within.
Yes.
And accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that allow us for the kingdom to be within each and every one of us.
Amen.
But if we look around and we can see that we're living in some violent times.
Yes.
Now we can take this to the natural. We're living in some violent times. So what are we going to do? Are we going to continue to allow the kingdom of God to be destroyed? Or are we going to take it back by force?
Take it back by force.
And that's what Christ, and that's what God did. Even though Jesus had to suffer, he had to suffer some things before God could actually take back. But that's what we're doing after we suffer. Because I heard the woman of God talk on it out of Revelation. After we suffer with him, we reign with him. That's what the Word of God declares. There is a reigning place for each and every one of us. But we as the body, as a whole, we got to begin to take back the kingdom of God, entertainment, education, and so forth, politics. You know, and I hear people always say, well, politics and religion don't mix. But if we don't get into politics, then we're going to continue to face a world of destruction where there is no voice.
Amen.
And we all have voices, and it's time to lift our voice up and take back the kingdom of God. That's all I wanted to add it to the message. God bless.
Amen.
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 Anybody else? Question, statement? Hello.
I just wanted to say thank you again for letting me say what I had to say or invite me to.
Well, I just say this, and I say this to the people, because of what I've come to understand. In order to get back into the politics and to take care, see, the political government, it is a part of, another part of, and a part of. It's called a VOTE. It's called a vote. That's what has established in the ordinary realm. And a lot of people won't go and vote. Well, you know, I don't want, as my prophet said about, well, I'm not into politics. Yes, you are. Yes, you are, under the system we live under. But God has us separated But we have to, there's some brothers and sisters out here. We have to get out there to help them to get delivered. No, I'm not going to vote. Why you not going to vote? I'm just not going to. Okay. So when you don't see something happen, you get all upset. But I just want to say these words tonight. If some of you can still hang on the line, we got a man of God coming on. Will you please just hang in there with me and listen? Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hello?
Hello?
Amen. Amen.
Pardon?
Yeah, we on the air. This KASK radio.
It is.
Pastor Hunter, may I put the phone on hold for a moment? But while we're still on here, he'll be back. I was reading earlier about faith and how the Word of God, we read the Word, we believe the Word by faith. And I was reading about Abel and Enoch and Noah and how God had commissioned them for such great work in the kingdom, how Enoch didn't even experience death, how Noah built that ark, no matter what people said about him or thought about him, how he heard God speak to him, and by faith he did what God asked him to do. Woman of God, I'm sure some assignments God have given you. We got to work the work while it is day, because night coming when no man can work. We have to believe God by faith to do the things that he have already deposited in our heart. And so on today, I was just thinking about the different stories of faith and the different people that the Word of God talks about when it comes to faith, and how we're looking at them as our spiritual heroes, and how they were successful because they believed God by faith. They conquered kingdoms by believing God by faith. God shut the mouth of a lion for Daniel. The Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Lord helped them by faith.
Amen. You know, God is so good until all help us all to believe. The more we trust God and believe God, the more God will do for us.
Yes.
It takes us to stay humble with God and watch God do what he says he's going to do for us. Now, there are some things that we have to do above all things. We got to pray one for another. We got to love one for another. We got to see what God wants done through us. And I want you to know, the more you trust and believe in God through Jesus Christ, you're going to make it. Let me see. Thomas, are you on?
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead, Thomas. Tell us what the Lord laid on your heart for us tonight.
Well, there is so much in the news. It's difficult to find a place to start. Hunter?
Yeah, we're still on the air, man of God. We're hearing you.
I think
Pastor Hunter may have some technical difficulties on his end, but we are still on the radio and we still can hear you. But you were saying that there's going on in the news. We as well, we're watching the news. We're watching the tragedy when a son kills his father, kills his mother, and kills his young sibling because he's tired of being told about going into the Army, Navy, or some armed services department, that he takes it upon himself to kill his preacher father, father's wife, and a child. We are living in some evil days and perilous times, but somewhere down the road, I know he heard the Word of God. He just chose to listen to the wrong voice.
Yes.
Well, I think that's absolutely true, that there was no recognition of God in his behavior, so... I don't know, you know, what was going through that man's mind when he killed his family members. So that's just something that I cannot understand, because I cannot think that way.
That's right.
So I wanted to, there's so much to actually talk about that's in the news in Houston and in the state of Texas and in the United States and also around the world, and much of it, you know, is being driven by a lot of evil acts. And that last week I had mentioned in a conversation with another gentleman that was on that the military budget had gone down over the last several years, which is very important right now because there's talk of U.S. troops going into other nations here to try to stem some of the terrible tragedies that are occurring on a daily basis. And what people don't realize, and this is the first point I wanted to talk about, is that because over the last 5 years, the military budget has declined over 16%, it's very difficult to be sending troops overseas and to keep them overseas. And I did a check just about an hour ago to find out how many of our nuclear carrier groups were actually out on duty. And there's really only one carrier group, that's the Carl Vinson, that's in the Persian Gulf. All of the other nuclear carriers are in port, either one in Japan, the rest are in the United States, either training or limited availability or in dry dock. It's impossible right now for the United States to project power in the situation that we have, and just the media is not talking about it. We don't really know, but even if we wanted the United States to go over and step on some people, all they really have right now are drones. So it's very disconcerting. So just stepping back from that situation with, you know, our inability as a nation, as a superpower, to go out and try to exert force, we're just not in a position to do it. So we're just left to prayer and grace of God to try to protect people around the world that are innocent. So having said that, I also wanted to throw out there that I stand with Israel, and it's a real shame that one political party is shunning Bibi Netanyahu coming and speaking at Congress. So I think that all Americans need to make up their mind. You know, either you stand with Israel or you don't. And we're getting down to some real difficult times here in the future. But, you know, at the local level, the state level, I wanted to make some comments about some things that we saw in the news. And I think it was last week where there was got the noise online. Is everything okay? Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you.
You know, they had a jury decision on that Houston Equal Rights Ordinance, and that there was some, I guess, mixed findings by the jury, but we'll know in a couple of days whether or not there was sufficient number of signatures that can be allowed, that if in their aggregate exceed that 17,000 threshold, that there will be possibly another attempt to get a vote on that equal rights ordinance.
Yeah.
It's not a deal. So it's really difficult. You know, you believe in the rule of law and that, you know, the courts are being manipulated, and that's a difficult situation. And then we have another situation where the courts are taking away the voters' decisions around the country, and we see that in that decision in Travis County where two judges ruled the unconstitutionality of the defense of marriage type of act, or one woman marriage, and it's difficult when activist judges take it upon themselves to make rulings that contravene the vast majority of the will of the people. And now we also have a federal judge down in Bronzeville who issued an opinion that many people don't like, but it was trying to follow the rule of law and the Constitution, that the administration's decision to issue work permits and just ignore the immigration laws as they were written and stand to try to make a whole new set of rules, the judge ruled that, you know, the administration violated their own procedures of doing whatever they did to try to accommodate what they thought they wanted to do. So, you know, we have to, as a body of people, we need to, you know, as a civilized country, we have to follow the rule of law, and if the laws are made by the elected officials, and, you know, if they are within the constitutional framework of the federal government and the state, you know, the judges need to stay out of legislating just because they may think it's a popular thing to do.
Yeah.
And I have a difficult time with that.
Likewise.
And I don't mean to be filibustering, but
you know, that's the truth. Set it free.
I had a lot on my mind. The Houston Chronicle today also had an editorial, and it's very uncommon. I don't think I recall ever seeing an editorial where they actually put the picture of the politician up that they're talking about. And in today's Chronicle, they had Paul Bettencourt, and they were setting the stage for, you know, disagreeing with his wanting to cap the property tax growth. And some of the major cities, they went to Austin to try to quash that. They don't want to limit in any way their ability to raise our taxes. And you know, they play this really irritating game where they have a set tax rate, and they say, well, we don't raise your taxes, or these bonds will never raise your taxes, because they know that the appraisal district is continually ratcheting up everyone's assessed values. And it's not like we're paying less in taxes. We're continually paying more in taxes. And if the government can't do with a nickel less, but we've got to be able to pay 5 and 10% more each year in property taxes, which I don't know why the majority of property owners continue to tolerate the fact that, you know, the cities and the county and state governments are taking more and more money and wasting more and more money. And when we get into this, you get down to the school districts, and, you know, it's my feeling that when a school district is willing to spend $10 million or $15 million on a stadium that has $500,000 or more electronic scoreboard, I really don't think that they're concerned about the education of the students.
They're not, sir.
And so I'm just going down the laundry list here, Willie, that, you know, in Cyfair, I wanted them to have that election in November instead of May last year for the $1.2 billion in bonds, where they just had to have it. But less than 15% of that $1.2 billion was going to go for new schools. And these new schools, you know, they got middle schools that they're paying $65 million to build a middle school. You know, that's a lot of money. But having said that, they had many, many millions of dollars on maintenance and repairs of buildings that they didn't want to raise the regular tax rate, or they were capped on some of their tax rates because they'd raised them too high too quickly because they had to cover the spending. But their last bond issue, they had built a bunch of schools and didn't finish building the schools because they realized they didn't have enough money to hire the teachers and put equipment in them. And in the bonds also, they had tens of millions of dollars for short-lived equipment like the telephone systems and the networks for the Wi-Fi and the little portable devices for all the kids, all that should be either short-term money or whatever. It shouldn't be 5 and 10 and 15-year bonds. And it's very disturbing. It's like, you know, you're going into Walmart and buying something that's a disposable item and putting it on a credit card, you know, and paying it off over time when you should be paying it off up front.
Amen.
So I just, in principle, I'm opposed to these types of behaviors, but they continually hold their bond elections when very, very, very few, less than 5% of the people actually vote, or 10% of, not even 10% of the registered voters. It usually is around 5%. So you have like 3% of the registered voters who have a vested interest in passing the bonds, voting to pass them, but they commit 100% of the current and future property owners to pay back those bonds. And it's just an upgrade. And people just sit back and allow it to happen, and there's no will to try to rein them in or stop them. And so when Betancourt gets up and says, well, we're just trying to cap the growth, they all go berserk. They don't want any restraints. And I'm just troubled by that.
Well, Tom, let me ask you this, Tom. What you seeing happening out there on the north, southeast part of Houston, west of Houston, I see there's a whole lot of construction going on out there in the 298, I-10, 16 area. Is that a part of the bond funding, or is that the state, or is that the United States, or what?
Are you talking about the road construction?
Yes.
Well, most of that road construction is either TxDOT funding. See, remember, last session, they allowed to transfer so many, or I guess it's this last election, whatever it was, that we took a whole bunch of the rainy day fund and transferred it over to the TxDOT so that they could, instead of just, you know, piecemealing little sections of projects, to give them a big chunk of money to do a whole lot of projects. Well, that just plays into the concrete mafia, because, you know, they're out there pouring concrete. And I don't have a problem with extra lanes and things, because you know, we have a lot of cars and a lot more cars coming in every day.
Yeah.
And that's why it doesn't make sense, in one view, to be diverting so much money over to the light rail project, where the ridership on Metro has declined over the last couple of years, and certainly since, as I mentioned last week, you know, they had 101 million boardings back when it was all buses, and now they're lucky to have 85 million boardings, including all the rail boardings that they force so many people to get on the rail to complete their trip. So that gets back to another thing. To get the little money to build the rail back there with Shirley DeLiberio, they did the fees lease deal. I think I mentioned it last week. Well, I looked at that again. They also, part of the fees leases, included a bunch of radios that we're still paying on for 30 years.
Yes.
And Metro's still paying. We'd already paid for these bus barns and stuff, and they put them in a defease lease to get a little lump sum. Well, all that blew up when we had that 2008 shakeup, and American General went, or AIG went belly up, I guess, and all these contracts were terminated that insured all these dubious projects or these dubious schemes. And one of them is that Metro's had to start paying off all these facilities that they had these leases on. They're having to pay, and they're paying millions of dollars every year to buy back the same facilities that were already paid for.
Yeah.
And nobody seems to be paying attention or really cares that they have this uninterrupted stream of money from the sales tax. So
yeah.
they're up to around $600-700 million a year in sales tax.
Wow.
They're not even making I think it's only like 7% of their revenue is coming from the fare box now. It was at 12, and it was supposed to be at 25, but they never got to 25%, and they were lucky to stay at 12, and now they're under 7% of the revenue. The vast majority comes from sales tax. And then the other part of it is you look at the other uninterruptible stream of money is the toll road authority. Well, they're making like $800 million or close to $1 billion now from people riding the toll roads, and they're just establishing a huge slush fund. They took money out and diverted money to give to the Sports Authority a couple years ago. I don't think the Sports Authority's paid them back yet. Everybody out there in the public, you need to at least participate enough to call your council member or call your county commissioner and tell them, I'm watching you and I'm tired of this. Stop it or we're going to throw you out.
Yeah.
And then throw them out.
Throw them out. I agree with you on that. Well, also, Thomas, I wanted to ask this question. With this new mega railroad coming from Houston to Dallas, do you think it's possible that they're going to try to construct it from the state of Texas money or from a different county that they're going to pay passing through?
Well, former Judge Eccles was on the radio this morning on Matt Patrick's show, and he made the statement that they believe they have enough investors that they'll get enough investment money to build it. Now, whether or not it's going to ever survive and pay back the bonds is another question. That they say that they have the studies that show that there will be enough demand to pay for it. I don't know, but I do know that they tried to build that public-private partnership deal on that one. Is it State Highway 130 that bypassed Austin and went down to Interstate 10 over there by Seguin? And goes up to Georgetown or whatever it is north of Travis County, and that thing has already failed, and the bondholders but it was a public-private partnership with Zachary. And I think that when they got all this money transferred over from the rainy day fund, one of the big road builders in the state is Zachary. So, Zachary lost their shirt on that toll road deal, but they're making it back right now. Building all these roads with the rainy day fund, and we don't have as much of the rainy day fund as we used to have.
No. Well, I hear what you're saying, and I would just say to the audience that, listen, we're putting this on to bring you sharper, to see what's before you right now. You got more politicians that are in office, they ain't doing nothing but getting a salary and going to meetings to make and I know the Bible speaks about rich. Because the rich man say, oh, God ain't watching us. God ain't watching us. We can steal this. We can do this. But the time has come for the believer. And somebody on the radio station tonight, you got a question, please ask it now. Anybody got a question, please ask it. Anybody? Anybody got a question?
Willie, I wondered that since you mentioned the politicians, and many of them truly are worthless. Another thing that's troubled me for quite some time is that when you have delinquent property taxes, they change the system of how it's collected. If you're in, you don't pay your school taxes and your city taxes and whatever, they now have a 25% penalty that gets collected by one firm. It's at, Herd Goggins and whatever it is.
Herd Goggins. I call it Herd Goggins and Beale.
Yeah, well, they don't go after, like, the taxpayers that are delinquent, like a couple of the state legislators, but there are a number of state legislators also that are getting fees from Herb Goggins, any amount of, I mean, this Mark Campos, who isn't even a legislator, he's a political consultant, they paid him $800,000 in fees. I'm thinking, for what? Because these property tax people have to pay 25% penalty and pay back what they owe, or they lose their property in a tax foreclosure. And these poor citizens who have trouble paying their taxes, that money, when they're delinquent, ends up going to the state politicians and Democrat insiders in the major cities that are just feeding off this system. And it's, I think it's equivalent to raping the poor people that have trouble paying their taxes. And then they go off and get one of these loans and you know, these predatory loans for the taxes. They're getting the money that they'll never be able to pay back either. And so those people end up getting to foreclose because it's a tax lien deal. They take the position of the say, the school district. And so they pay the taxes, and then you owe them. You don't pay them, they take the property in a foreclosure. So the people still lose their property, and they don't really have the right to recover it then.
Because that's a law that has been designed for McKissick Hall. It's been designed to go in. And even though I know there's a lot of people...
It's based on evil, though.
It is.
I have a question.
No, go ahead.
Question.
Okay, I'm sorry I dialed in late. This is Robert calling, who was on the program
Robert.
Last week.
Yeah.
Now, is this countywide, the $25% penalty on property tax?
It's for any delinquent property tax statewide.
You have to pay
the 25% when you're delinquent, and that goes to the firm that collects it if the particular district doesn't collect it themselves. So in the case of the city of Houston, Herb Goggins and whatever, they get an additional 25% that they can, after they foreclose on the property, they take off the proceeds.
Yep.
However, the person does have the right of redemption for 2 years to recover their property.
If it was taken in a tax in a sheriff's sale. But if they
go out and
they get one of those loans, though, and they don't pay back the people that gave them the loan who paid the entity for the property tax, they lose it. They don't have the right to recover it then because that's a separate loan.
Well, I understand that, but you are missing a step. They do have the right of redemption. They can recover their property without the penalty if you go directly to the taxing entity.
But they're all being handled by other agencies, like Herb and Goggins. They're subbing that out.
That's what they're doing.
You still have the right to go to the entity to go pay that bill.
Yeah. Once you do that, but if it goes to delinquent and then they do the foreclosure, they can tack on the 25%, and they do.
I've never seen that done, and I've been in that business for quite a few years. I'm actually buying sheriff sale homes, so I don't know that that's. I don't know when this came about. Most of the time, the families do walk away from the house.
And they just can't afford to pay the taxes.
And I'm not trying to be hard on anybody because I'm a believer in the. The American dream of owning your own house, but is that quite honestly, you know, they're not educating people on the proper ways of being a responsible homeowner. And this is one of the things
I agree.
One of the things that I got cut off last week is that you have to have community development corporations that will teach you on the proper responsibilities of owning a home. Set aside your money management, clean up your credit, things like that. You suggested last week that it would be turned over to churches, which churches are not qualified to do that, okay? There are people who are professionals who do that in a nonprofit sector, but there are not enough of them.
Well, everybody has to live their own life and live it in a prudent, hopefully a prudent manner, and they shouldn't get so upside down in their debt. You know, I understand people get sick and whatever, and that's, you know, that's a very tough situation. But a lot of people don't. They just overspend.
I will agree
with that one. However, there are special circumstances.
Well, there's all kinds of things that you happen. You never know what's going to happen when you wake up in the morning. You know, life doesn't always work out the way you want. That's for sure.
Well, one of the things that I've seen the nonprofit community development corporations were suggesting that you would, these people who would actually take mortgage insurance, that if anything were to happen to them.
If they have a catastrophic event or something, they can't pay, the insurance will make the payments for them?
Correct.
Yeah. That just adds to the amount they have to pay. It would be one
actually,
thing.
Actually, that insurance is less than 1% of your the value of your house. I have it right now.
Okay, but a lot of people buy more house than they can afford, or, you know, they buy towards the upper limit of what they can afford.
And I agree with you on that one.
They don't have much room. You know, people are always trying to buy the most house they can, seemingly, and if they didn't, then they may not get into that, you know, the cash crunch situation.
Well, I don't blame it on the consumer. I blame that on the mortgage company who knows they cannot afford it, but they okay the loan.
They used to have these. They still do, I think. These little formulas that you can only borrow a certain amount relative to your established income, and less your expenses, and you know, having whatever particular ratio. And this, that not everybody will stick with staying within that formula.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they go out and they buy another car, they buy some more items on credit, and then all of a sudden, you know, they're having to make decisions of, you know, who's going to get paid this month, and they're still working. And you know, it's not like they lost their job or something. It's even worse when they do lose their job, or they get turned into a part-time job because the employer doesn't want to pay the mandated insurance costs.
I knew that's where you were going with that.
Well,
I could smell that from a mile away, that you were going to fill that this with some, you know, rhetoric.
Well, no, that's what's happening. That's what's happening.
It's not happening.
Employers are cutting
it's not happening. Man, where do you get your news from, Fox? Seriously, get your news from?
I watch Fox News, but I've got two computers.
Okay.
I'm looking at the screens right now that I go to various websites.
And you get most of your noise from Fox Noise. Jeez Louise,
I don't watch the Communist News Network, no.
Well, the Communist, I knew where you were going when you said that from the beginning.
Is that not a fact that employers are reducing people's
hours?
It's
not
hours
a fact.
So not...
You look at the statistics that are going on right now, please. And don't use that, well, people have given up on just searching for jobs, because that's not true either. It's because you can't see the numbers going in your favor for the Republican Party, so you make up a story just like Fox News. And that's not the case. That's not the case. You see unemployment rates going down, but there's a voodoo math that the CBO and the president and the administration are working on. And you know the CBO is an independent body. But because you can't, it doesn't say what you want it to say. It's voodoo economics, voodoo math. Everything is voodoo. That is. You know what? That's a crock.
There's
okay?
Record levels of people on food stamps and on disability, and other government subsidy programs than ever before.
And who are you going to blame that one on?
Well,
come on, please, because I'm ready for the answer, please.
The economy is not growing as you just indicated.
Let me ask you this.
There's not
okay.
enough growth in jobs to sustain the number of people that want to work.
That's not true. That is not true. I don't know where you. And please, you know, do your brain a favor and quit. Turn off Fox News for a week. Go to other sources.
Let me ask a question, gentlemen. Where are the jobs coming from? Do people go out there every day try to get a job? What's going on in the job market right now? Are we finding jobs? Because I know two or three people had jobs, a prominent job, but all of a sudden, because the oil began to drop, they have to lose their job. Is that a part of it?
You're going to hear what he's going to say, which is purely rhetoric, and then you can hear the truth. So go ahead.
No, but I'm asking both of you.
Well,
I'm here to
listen to the truth, Robert. Tell me the truth.
The truth of the job, right now, it has a lot to do with our educational system. The jobs that we don't have, that are not being, I mean, that there are no jobs, is because we do not train children out of high school to be job ready. Bottom line. This is why the president proposed free education in the community college system. Systems, and this was so. I mean, some of them will be able to go on to major universities, but the objective was to get young people out of high school to learn a trade. When I went to high school, there were trades that you could learn anything from welding to auto mechanics to you name it. Computer programming, you could learn that in high school. But that's not the problem. That's not it. With your president, my former president, I didn't vote for him. When he wanted no child left behind, it put mandates on educators that they had to have so many passing percentages in your classrooms and in your schools before you could get any federal dollars to come back. And I'm not against that. I'm not against that at all, because there should be a merit system. However, that took away the incentive to having. Wait a minute. Allow me to finish here. That took away the incentives or any kind of. Vocational education in the high schools. Now, when they get out of high school, they can't do it. They're not trained to do anything. And the question was a few months ago, was college for everybody? Well, college is for people who want to better themselves. And if it has to be in the trade, so be it. But because we have this mandated No Child Left Behind from George W., the school buckled down and started doing these. And the state agencies started passing having these kids take mandatory standardized tests that they have to pass before they can graduate. So what did that do to the local school boards? They insisted for us to get any money from the state that is filtered in from the federal government, we have to have these classes to make sure that they pass their standardized tests, or we get no money.
So the public school system doesn't teach anyone anything just because they need to get the money.
Did I say that?
The public school system has failed, so it makes my case for vouchers for people to go to a private school so they can at least be taught to think for themselves.
Let me just ask you this question: the schools like that, where do you think they're located?
Rich area.
You're talking about the private schools?
Yeah, where do you think they're located? Physically located.
In the rich areas?
Various locations.
No.
They can locate wherever they want to locate.
Dr. Hunter hit the nail on the head. It's in more affluent areas. When do you have any minority children or children who live under... low to very low income.
There's private charter schools in other areas of the city.
Where?
Aren't the KIPP facilities also private schools?
Yes.
You got the charter schools all over the city?
You're what?
those harmony schools?
I can barely understand what you're saying.
Harmony schools.
Okay, where are they located?
They're all over the city.
Okay.
Well, what they call the one Kip is not here off of Mesa and Tidwell. That was a big
They've got about a dozen campuses, at least.
But I know this much. The thing we're seeing in America, particularly in Texas, is that our children are not being educated. Why? Because they're not giving them what they need to. And I say, because we all are saying, I learned how to do electricity, how to carpentry, how to show bricks, saw up, and I learned a lot. But now, this society we live in now, it's all in evil that's moving toward getting it put down. And because now we take notice of what's happening, we got more educated people that don't know how to even change a tire. Now, to me, that's bad. I told a guy one day, he said, well, I can't change the tire. I said, well, you're going to give me $50? He said, I'll pay you whatever you want. So that tells me you are my slave if you're going to do what I want you to do. And that's what God doesn't want. If you don't know how to change your arm, I know they got the car so now you got to go to the, you can't do what you used to do. They got it so sophisticated. And I'm just talking about the, yes, sir.
Really, family members have a certain duty to help instruct and train the children. You know, they got the kids in the evenings and weekends. If the children are, you know, working with their parents and they have questions and stuff, the parents, you know, should help find a way to answer their questions, because you can't rely on the school to do everything that needs to be done.
I know it.
And so it's a tough situation for most families. I understand that. But
you
have aunts and uncles.
But you know what I take notice of? Right here in Houston, Texas. Today I was out there with Metro riding around. I saw so much construction. I saw so many cars for the peak hour from 9 to 4 this evening. I said, where are all these people coming from? 45, I-10, 16. The freeways were crowded. And I said, where are these people going? They're building homes out there on the northeast, the southeast, the westeast. They're building. Well, where are these people coming from? They get into these places, but what I discovered, to live in that one particular place, it costs you $3,000 a month. So if you're not making it, if you don't have an education, how you going to live in a place like that? Not going to happen. How you going to drive your car that's going to cost almost, car going to cost about $650 to $750? When you go down and start putting everything down in order, the society we live in doesn't care anything about the poor. And we go to the book of Psalms, we find it. And the Bible says that the rich are said, let us go do what we have to do, because God is not concerned. God is concerned through us. We need to tell the people out there to listen. Wake up. Wake up. See, you told a person, I told a person, I said, can you go on and cook some eggs? He said, how you cook eggs? What? How do you boil eggs? What? See, but we have to take an attitude, both of us, all three of us, take an attitude that we can reach out and touch somebody that can help somebody to understand. Because we're living in a society that's slowly slipping away. It's like I already mentioned earlier about, we can't get in the war right now. We're not war sophisticated. Well, how are we going to get in the war? We don't have big troops. We got drones. What's going on, America? Is this president, this past president, presidents? What's going on in the United States? A lot of us, some of them want to hear Netanyahu come and speak. I want him come and speak. I'm for him speaking. Because I want to see what's going on. Sir?
That was not done right.
No, it wasn't done right. It wasn't done right. But everything, I think the politicians said, okay, guys, we blew the whistle on this one. Let's make it happen. Because the final thing, Netanyahu going to come and tell it like it is. And you know what I know, that...
No, he's not going to... He's going to tell it like he sees it. Okay, let's not kid ourselves. Okay? They're in work right now, and they should never have anybody come in there and undermine diplomatic procedures right now. And most of the Republican Party agreed with this. Okay, they won't say it on the news, and they won't be interviewed, but if you took a survey, you shouldn't have gotten involved in while they are going into negotiations and diplomatic relations and negotiations. You shouldn't do that.
Obama's been abusing Bibi Netanyahu for the last 6 years. This is nothing new.
Oh my God!
And the speaker has the right to ask anybody to speak to the Congress.
I don't know. I mean, he has the right.
Yeah.
When has this ever happened before?
He's supposed to come down next month to go speak in Congress.
No, when has it ever happened?
And we know,
Congress?
You know, and I know that the Israelis don't give a hill. They don't care.
When have you ever seen it happen in Congress when somebody was running for re-election in their land and there were negotiations going on, diplomatic peace negotiations going on with somebody?
Obama's campaign people over there trying to unseat him.
You know what? This is not... Please stay away. You know what? Please stay away from Fox News. you will certainly get caught.
You're as partisan as... You're even yellower than a yellow dog.
I'm sorry,
say
again?
I look at Fox. I look at CNN. I look at MBS. I listen to all of them all through the day because they all have their varied opinion. It's up to us can dissect, pull out, push in, place down. It's up to us.
That's right, Willie. The truth has no agenda.
See, and when we take a notice of what's going on in America, see, right now, and I'm still upset, and y'all bear with me on this one, I'm still upset with a lot of these people trying to put those people back. They came in. They've been here for 25, some of them 17, 15, 14 years. And all of a sudden, a certain group decided they didn't want to do that. I said, what are they trying to do? What are they trying to do? Because America is becoming so unsure of its own. Because I'm going to tell you something. Now, this might hit me upside the head. I salute the flag of the United States of America, which Republic, which it stands. How many people going to say that come from different countries? They're not going to do that. I stand for the liberty of that flag. I stand for rule of law. But there are a lot of people in society we live in, from the East Coast to the West Coast, that want to see nothing happen. And I'm going to tell you something. It's a shame that both parties, Republicans and Democrats, I call them rippers and dippers, they're going to let that pipeline come all the way through the United States of America, and nobody going to get no oil from there, China and Russia. What's going on?
Thank you very much. Thank you.
What's going on?
You had all these jobs that it's supposed to create, which is once again rhetoric. They're going to be construction jobs. And a few years ago, when this was being proposed, the president said he would go with it just if they used organized labor to build it. And what did the Koch brothers do? Oh, they had a fit.
Well, I'm going to tell you something.
That oil that's going to come from Canada is going to come straight out, come straight through the United States into the ports into somebody else's country.
Well, the last time
the president decides who builds what and how?
I'm sorry?
Private investment. So the president decides who builds what and how when it's private
investment? That's not what he said. He said... He didn't say that. He said if you use organized labor, put some people to work. And
unfortunately,
allow me to do this one, okay? Fortunately or unfortunately, if I'm looking at it, I'm going to look at it on both sides of the coin on this one. Allow me, please. On the side of right to work, You know who's going to be building, digging those ditches and those trenches to build it from Canada here? It's going to be my people. A lot of them are going to be Hispanic who are illegally here or legally here because they'll do the job for $8 an hour. Okay?
That's how they make their money. Excavators.
What?
They're going to be building those with excavators. They're not going to be shoveling it.
I'm talking about once you start pouring concrete over it to cover it. It's not going to be exposed. Who do you think is going to be doing that?
They're going to bury the pipeline. They're not going to cover it with concrete.
It will have to be. You're just not going to have a loose pipe there. It's going to have to be insulated with something.
Well, they're going to have footings. They're going to have the pipeline. They may put an insulation material over it. Then they're going to cover it with dirt.
Who do you think is going to be doing the labor on that?
Laborers.
Mexican laborers.
I have no idea who they're going to hire.
I do. See,
okay.
That's why I'm looking at it from both sides of the coin. Now let me put French, being of Mexican descent, I see that and I see people going to work and I say thank you. That's good. I'm glad they're going to go to work. But on the other hand, people like you will say, well, they should be hiring American labor. Well, hire some American labor, but pay them a livable wage.
Yeah.
So they're going to pay them $5 an hour? I really think that that's
can you
stretch.
Can you live on $5 an hour?
Now you're being silly. I'm
self-employed.
I've been self-employed for 30 years.
I understand. Question. Let me ask a question. Now, here we are in America. We got a pipeline coming down through America that's dividing our country. Take notice that dividing our country. The Rippers and the Dippers have got their pockets full. And a federal judge said, you can't build this pipeline over here. Well, they went back to court to fight over it. And I hope and pray that the president said, well, no, don't stand firm. We're living in a time where America is being divided by a pipeline. A pipeline that's going to neither nobody in America. And gas is steady. Gas was $1.70 something. Now gas has started going up again. So where's the money going? Who gets the money?
It usually does go up during the spring months and into the summer because it's a different octane in the gasoline, and it will go up. But I would assume that it would probably go back down in the fall.
But my question is, who in America is going to be able to tap into pulling some of that stuff and make it productive in America? They're rather going to Russia and China.
That is the purpose of that pipeline. It's not going to serve Americans. Bottom line, it's not going to serve Americans.
If you're concerned about that, the big stakeholder in the Eagle Ford shale development is China. They're the ones making all the profit out of what's going out of being produced in South Texas.
Yeah. Well, why come we can't?
And we got sold out by both parties.
Oh.
I think that there's a lot of wolves up there, and they don't give a rat's meow. The ruling class doesn't care one iota about the people that are trying to work hard and live the best life they can.
Well, you know what? We got a situation in our hands in America, and we got to start producing and getting more people involved. Because what bothers me? Let me tell you something. Bear with me for just a moment. A loaf of bread now costs $1.98. A light bread, not wheat bread. You got beans up to $1.50 a can. Everything is going up. So it tells me that the darkness in this society we live in, because there are some righteous people who are nothing but a bunch of cowards, won't stand up and fight the good fight of faith. You got more pastors, more evangelists, more teachers, more prophets, got more in the body of Christ. I was telling some people a few months ago, people said, well, you know, we have to go out and vote. But most of my people on my side of the river, Negroes, they said, no, I ain't going to vote because they ain't going to do nothing for me. You got to do something for your own self. If we don't come together and make a change, they're going to do what they're doing. It's up to
us. I agree with you that you got to get up and learn how to help yourself. I'll agree with that.
Yeah, and that's why, like Tom said, I've been 31 years. I worked for the city. I worked hard for the city. But when I learned how to work, when I learned how to cut yards, how to do this and do that, I learned more money. Because I just said, well, this is how you're going to make your own living. It's how you plan your purpose and purpose your plan. And I say this, from Galveston to all the way to San Antonio to El Paso to all the way to the top, we got some problems in the United States, and more particularly in Texas. Tejas, Tejas, Tejas. We got some problems. And we got to do something about it. And, gentlemen, I want to thank y'all for y'all indulgence. And next time we come on, we're going to have an even better. Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask both of y'all. Would y'all like to have that guy who's running for, he works for the Harris County District, Lois Lane, you'd like to have him on next week?
Okay.
All right, I'll try to have him on next week, okay?
Okay.
I have no problem. As I said last week, I don't have a dog in a hunt because I don't vote within the city.
I don't have a dog in a hunt either, but I'll say this much. Because I get all the information from him. That's okay. Let me see what he's smelling. Let's see what he's smelling. Okay. God bless y'all. Until next time, okay?
Thank you. Please accept my apology for getting in late.
Okay. God bless you.